The Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
One of the things that our Lord Jesus Christ and Apostle Paul and others really demonstrated as something that was horrible, bad, was hypocrisy. And matter of fact, in 1 Timothy chapter 4, he talks about lies in hypocrisy, and he's talking about people with deceiving spirits that's been deceived of the devil. And so he goes ahead and says, this is what they try to do. Control what you eat, control where you go. Everything is about it. But they don't listen to their own advice. They do their own thing while they're telling others to do something else. That is hypocrisy. And so here in chapter 4 of 1 Timothy, Paul is telling Timothy, brother, you need to expose them. They're not right. And if you're going to be a good minister, you need to know the word. So in chapter 4, verses 6 through 16, you get an idea of what it means to be a minister of the gospel, doing it right. This is Bert Harper along with Dr. Alex McFarland, and it's our joy to be the host of Exploring the Word. We're kind of the facilitators. We appreciate people that follow along. They open their Bibles. They listen. Then at the end of the hour, they call in to ask questions. And as Alex has said, that's like being in a classroom and holding up your hand and say, teacher, I've got a question. So we love those questions. And so get ready to call us and ask it. Alex, when we look at chapter 4, notice verse 5, and I think it introduces verse 6. For it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. Listen, Those two things, the word of God in prayer, do we judge what we eat, where we go, what we're to say based upon the word of God in prayer? I think it's absolutely not some false teacher, but it's the Word of God and God, the Holy Spirit guiding us, isn't it?
Well, that's true. And Bert, it's great to be with you. And thankfully, we do have God's revelation, the Word of God. Otherwise, we would just be in a world of conflicting opinions. And that's why it's so good in church and in the Christian life to really believe in and yield to the authority of Scripture, because there are limitless amounts of opinions, perspectives, preferences, but the arbiter that settles disputes, or at least it should, is God's word.
Amen.
What does this or that person say? What saith the Lord? You know, Bert, as we're in this 1 Timothy 4, notice there are theological errors, there are moral errors, then there are really practical and legalistic errors. And, that's why it says that in the last days, you know, people are going to turn away from truth to things that are theologically, doctrinally wrong, immoral, and then adding legalism and works to the gospel. And, Bert, it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Everything is to be received. And, I know that there are vegans and those that don't eat meat, and that's one thing if it's your preference, but we don't want to add works and dietary things to the gospel, because the law of Moses, Jesus fulfilled that, and we're not under those dietary laws anymore, are we?
We are not. So what Paul says to Timothy, and I love verse 6, if you instruct the brethren. Now, I'm just going to stop there for a moment. Instruct the brethren. Listen, a pastor, a teacher, that's exactly, and what we try to do, we're trying to instruct them in the Word of God, not our opinion. Now, every once in a while, we'll come across something, and we don't have specific instructions from the Word of God, but we usually have guidelines, and we try to instruct the brethren on those when they ask us such question. But notice this, if you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ. Now, I want to tell you, here's the challenge, Alex, going out over the airways from you and me, those of you that are pastors, Sunday school teachers, staff members, and we have all listening, chaplains that are doing at hospitals and prisons. Listen, we want to be a good minister. What is it? Go back to verse 5, the word of God in prayer, and then instructing them in these things. Notice the rest of verse 6 now. Nourished in the words of faith and of the good doctrine which you have carefully followed. Is Amen. Paul telling Timothy, Timothy, you don't want to be a hypocrite, because that's what he was talking about earlier here in this chapter 4, verse 2. You not only teach these things, but guess what? You follow them.
Yes.
Isn't that the instruction Paul has given Timothy?
Well, yeah. You know, verse 6, a good minister, that diligent and faithful. And then nourished up in the words of faith and good doctrine. Not only diligent, but orthodox. And I would say mature in the faith. And let me just say, Bert, I've always respected you. You're very wise, and you probably weren't like this. But I remember when I was a young Christian, even before I was, you know, called into the ministry, but just growing in the Lord, there were all these bandwagons. This in the late 80s, there was a gentleman that was going to set a date for the rapture, you know. And then there was this bandwagon and that bandwagon. And I remember just, I think it was the discernment of the Holy Spirit, but I remember thinking, I want to keep it about the gospel and Jesus. And maybe somebody wants to get on this bandwagon or that bandwagon, but I'm just going to the best of my ability, stay balanced.
Amen.
And, you know, this is years before I felt the call to ministry. But, folks, when verse 6 says, you know, a good minister, I think that there's faithful, diligent, balanced, nourished up in the words of faith. Keep it all about faith in Jesus, the gospel. And then good doctrine. There was a book by Carl F.H. Henry. It'd be worth getting, and he's long since been passed away. He was a friend of Billy Graham. But it was a book simply called Christian Doctrine.
Yes.
And I remember reading that book, and it talked about the things that you all hear me talk about regularly, the deity of Christ, the blood atonement, the inerrancy of God's Word. And I remember reading, because I'd heard Billy Graham mention it, and of course, you know, if Billy Graham said it, it was okay with me, you know. And but I got that Carl Henry book, and I remember there were all these doctrines, and yes, the return of Christ, the work of the Holy Spirit, but it was classical Christian orthodoxy, and it was not an extreme camp in either way. And I know that there are all sorts of denominations, but let me just say there's a lot to be said in here. Verse 7, refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. But I think the pursuit of Christ-likeness, righteousness, Christian growth, that's more the emphasis than getting off on some extreme teaching way out in the weeds, isn't it?
It really is. And I can't help but notice the word exercise. Paul used quite a few athletic, you know, illustrations. And here it is. It's far more profitable. Now, again, we need to keep our body strong. Right now, RFK Jr. and Pete Hexbeth, they're going around doing push-ups and chin-ups and the challenge, and it's fun. I saw a video of it challenging America to get fit, which is good. I'm proud of that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's good. But better exercise is exercise to godliness. And this is what you want to, and it is. In other words, when you're exercise, you are deliberately straining yourself. You're trying to follow. And that's what you want to do. Again, follow Christ. And this is what Paul is telling Timothy. Timothy, exercise yourself to godliness. Don't listen to the wives, the fables. Don't listen to those things. Stay with the word. And you said it perfectly, Alex. Stay with Jesus Christ. Anytime you want to check out about a church, a denomination, a ministry, the first thing you do is what do they say about Jesus? That Amen. Is the whole key. You look further after that, but this is the whole thing. Notice he comments that in verse 8 about the exercise. For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and that which is to come. Don't you love that now is and to come? In other words, practicing godliness, exercising godliness is profitable now and later, Alex. Sounds like a good deal. Now and later, that's awesome, isn't it?
Well, you know, you mentioned that, and Paul is well known for his, athletic comparisons, run the good race. Well, even that term nourished up in the Word of Faith from verse 6 means being trained in. And listen, we should always be in training as a follower of Jesus Christ. Bodily exercise profits a little, like you say in verse 8, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and that which is to come. By the way, I've met a lot of people along the journey, and when I was in seminary, I taught guitar lessons to a girl, and her grandfather had been a pretty well-known opera singer. And he was getting quite, older, and he was very depressed that he couldn't sing like he used to. And I understand that because, a lot of the competencies that we define ourselves with, time passes and the seasons of life pass. But here's the thing. Verse 8, godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. As long as we're in this life, we can grow in Jesus.
Amen. There's not a stopping place.
Even if you're on a bed of affliction, you can pray and commune with God. And I think that's one of the beautiful things, that the one thing really, if we're honest with ourselves, the one thing that can never be taken away is all that we have and all that we are in Jesus.
Amen, Alex. Now, verse 9, it's just a statement, but what a statement. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance. When you find something that is true, a statement, and worthy, listen, you need to dwell down. Mm-hmm. And here it is. For to this end we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those who believe. Explicitly is a better term than especially. Explicitly for those who believe. Jesus Christ is the way. There's no other way but Him. For this we both labor and suffer approach. Alex, when we live for the Lord, Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation, difficulty, heartache. They'll come up against you. So, but this is a faithful saying, that we labor and suffer reproach. Why? We trust in the living God.
Amen.
Alex, is there anybody else to trust in?
Only Jesus. Who do we have but Jesus? You know, in chapter 1, verse 15, he used that same phrase, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptations. Christ Jesus came to save sinners, of whom I am the chief. And almost 1 Timothy 1:15 seems to go all the way up to 1 Timothy 4:8. And the chapter closes out very famously. That is about the growth and the life and the service. He says, let no man despise your youth. And then he basically says, keep on till I come, and exhort doctrine, and do not neglect the gift that is in thee. And when I show up, I want to find you busy and faithful. That's kind of what he's saying.
Amen. And we want God to find us faithful. Listen, continue. One of the most important words that Paul uses again and again is continue. Continue in the things that I've taught you. Continue in doing that which is will save your soul. Listen, we'll be back. I want you to picture this. Her name is Kayla. She is 17, alone, terrified, and pregnant. Sitting in a clinic, tears blurring, thinking abortion is her only option. Until she was offered a free ultrasound, paid for by a hero just like you. The moment Kayla heard her baby's heartbeat, the decision was made. And today, her little baby boy, Gabriel, is thriving because her preborn walked with Kayla every step of the way. Now, multiply that by 38,000. That's how many babies preborn has helped save just this year. How many mothers preborn has come alongside with practical and spiritual resources to make motherhood possible? But here's the most important thing you will hear today. Their goal is to save 70,000 by the end of the year. And they can't do it without us. Every $28 provides the ultrasound the moment everything changes. Will you be the reason the next Kayla chooses life? The reason Gabriel fulfills his destiny? To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby. Or donate securely at preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio. He makes a way where there ain't no way. Rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is free. And the good news is I know that he can do for you what he's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word. If you need a boost for your afternoon and to feel really upbeat and joyful in the Lord, well, you're listening to the right segment, and that song kind of is the perfect setup for this segment of our show. Let me tell you about my Jesus. We're going to play you something here in a minute that you just won't forget. But we've been in 1 Timothy chapter 4, and you know, Bert, before the break, Paul was given this charge to Timothy, you know, let no one despise your youth, continue, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine, do not neglect the gift that is in thee. And that's a good admonition for all of us. Know what your spiritual gifts are and your strengths in serving the Lord. Let me read this, and I want to get you to comment, and then we'll play something very special. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Wow, the gospel that touches the listeners, it's got to have touched the preacher first, didn't it?
It really does. And then when we come back after you hear from this, we'll go back to verse 12 because there's a list. Paul is known for his list, and I just want to go over that list in verse 12 a little bit more thoroughly. And yes, with that in mind, we want you to tell us about our Jesus, my Jesus. Well, he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So listen to this. I think you'll just praise God once you hear S.M. Lockridge and That's My King.
I wonder, do you know him? My King is a sovereign king. No means of measure can define his limitless love. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He is the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient Savior. I wonder if you know him today. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens and sustains. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captives. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he beautifies the meager. I wonder if you know him. He's the key to knowledge. He's the wellspring of wisdom. He's the doorway of deliverance. He's the pathway of peace. He's the roadway of righteousness. He's the highway of holiness. He's the gateway of glory. Do you know him? Well, his life is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. And his yoke is easy. And his burden is light. I wish I could describe him to you. He's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. You can't get him out of your mind. You can't get him off of your hand. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. The Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him, and the grave couldn't hold him. Yeah, that's my king. That's my king.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Alex, I remember the first time I ever heard it. I was sitting down, and I had to stand up and just praise the Lord. That's my King. What a Savior, Alex.
Amen. Amen. Well, you know, that's the thing about Jesus. I mean, the greatest music, art, literature, recitations have all been based on and inspired by the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think about how many cornerstones of hospitals and schools. Do you know what? I was in an event back in May with Dinesh D'Souza, and he noted throughout history, more colleges have been started by Christian entities in world history than all other entities combined. Whether it be state schools or in honor of some person. I mean, Christianity, and specifically Christ, who is Christianity, the risen Lord Jesus, it's shaped the world like nothing else in history because it's based on a living reality, the risen Lord Jesus, with whom you may have a relationship, folks. He's as close by as a prayer. Now, Bert, you mentioned verses 12 through 16 as chapter 4 concludes. What a great challenge. You know, I was just thinking about, you know, in the ministry, every now and then we have the honor of participating in an ordination, you know, acknowledging someone going into missions or ministry. And I think about how these scriptures have been read. But this is not just for ministers. This is for every believer, isn't it?
It really is.
To continue in the Word.
Amen. Listen to this. How old do you have to be an example? Well, listen. Jesus used as an example. He said, if you're going to come unto me, you're going to have to come as a little child. There's that example. Trust me. And so here he says, be an example of what. Now, what he's doing here, he's completing this. He's talking about what he is to be a good minister. Verse 6, instruct the brethren in these things. Let you exercise to godliness. Now, here it is. Even though you're young, let your youth not be despised, but instead be an example to the believers. Where? In word. And not just in the word, but in word. Let your word be your bond. You speak truth. Conduct, the way you live. Listen, you know, that's the reason it goes back, if you would. Do you remember what it says about both the deacon and the bishop and the deacon's wife is to be blameless? That is the whole idea, to conduct in love. Listen, God's love for us is real. In spirit, our spirit should bear witness that we're a child of God in faith and in purity. Though, Alex, we're always talking about Paul and his list. Here's a list that's in this one verse that when I want to see, okay, am I an example of God's, what God has done in my life, man, this is a good checkup for me and you and everyone is listening. You know, what am I doing? Am I an example in my word, my conduct, in loving people, in spirit? Do I have a teachable spirit in faith? Do I trust God and believe him? Am I morally pure? Am I doing that which is right? So here it is, one of the lists. I would call it a checkup list on what kind of an example I'm going to be.
Amen. Amen. And, you know, when I listened to that S.M. Lockridge recording, all that Jesus is. You can't put him out of your mind. He can't be erased from history. I mean, doesn't that, it inspires you so much. And this is the one that we have a personal relationship with. And this is the one who is coming back one day, maybe soon. Every eye will see him, and the world will know that Jesus is Lord of all. And I want to give the number, because we've got enough time before we embark on chapter 5. With the time, this part of segment 2 and the total of segment 3, let's go ahead and go to calls and questions. You want to do that, Bert?
Well, let's give it a little bit more time. Richard's not at the phone right yet.
Okay.
So we have
okay.
to, and that's the reason I know you use that. Let's go back, but I want to go back to verse 13, because I think there's some significance here. Notice okay. what it says, till I come. Now, okay, here it is, accountability. When I come to you, you come to me, Timothy, this list that I've given you, I'm going to ask you about it. You remember when Jesus would, he would send the apostles out, they'd come back, and he would ask them, let me ask you what you did. And that sometimes they found out, man, these spirits wouldn't obey us. And Jesus would tell them the truth. I think this is not only accountability, but I think it's Paul teaching Timothy that listen, you need some accountability. I'm going to be your accountability partner until I come. And then the word give attention to, make it a priority. Mm-hmm. Reading, exhortation, and teaching. It's teaching, the doctrine. Reading and exhortation. You're encouraging them. You're challenging them. What? I think it goes back to the verse 12 when he was saying to be an example. So you're exhorting them to be an example to the others they come in contact with. Paul, I'm an example to you, Timothy. You, Timothy, you be an example to the others. And it continues on. It's that ripple effect, Alex. And so then in verse 14, it says, do not neglect the gift that is in you. Now, I don't know if Timothy was kind of dragging his feet on this, or if he was just encouraging him to keep up what he's been started to do, but do not neglect the gift that is in you. Alex, every believer, they have the gift of the Holy Spirit, and then at the point of birth, they also get gifts, or at least a gift of the Holy Spirit called spiritual yes. gift. But you have first the gift of the Holy Spirit. Is God in you? Have you been saved? If so, then you have a gift that's been given to you. Well, Richard is coming in, so I'm going to give that number again, and you can make your phone call early. It is 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. Those lines are open, ready to talk to Richard and ask your question. I hope you have some. But one more thing before we get out of verse 14, Alex. I just thrilled verses 11 through 16. I've got some sermons here. Notice what it says here. Do not neglect this gift that was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. Now, again, mm-hmm. sometimes it was recognized at that time, and it seems like that's what it was. It wasn't necessarily, okay, I'm laying hands and I'm giving you this gift. It's God-given, recognized by the presbytery or the elders, and then it's to be functioned in such a way. So Paul is saying, Paul is saying to Timothy, no, don't neglect that. Continue in it. Do the work.
Amen. Amen. Well, and in the King James, verse 15 says, meditate upon these things. Give yourself wholly to them. H-O-L-L-Y. What does your translation say on that clause?
Entirely right. to them, that your progress may be evident to all.
Do you remember when they asked Jesus, like in Mark 14, we command, are you the Son of the Highest, and Jesus said, I am. Well, ego and me. In other words, that's what I am. Well, this, in the English, it says, give yourself wholly to these things. What? The gospel, Christian growth, the biblical worldview. And the wording there is in me. In other words, it's like, be these things. This is who I am as a Christian. Honestly, it's not just that we pray the sinner's prayer and decades from now we'll die and go to heaven one day. That's true. If you're saved, yes, when you die, you'll go to be with Jesus. But in other words, until we do, as long as we live, this is who I am, my Christian faith. I mean, in other words, we are to be fully invested in these things. Christianity is not just something I do on Sunday morning for 2 hours, 9:45 to 12, you know? It is our identity from henceforth onward, isn't it?
It really is. And so notice these two words in verse 15 and verse 16, meditate and continue.
Yes.
In other words, it's not passing by. It's not something that you do just, well, and go back to the word. It says exercise godliness. Do you see this discipline that Paul is talking about, Timothy?
Well, it is, yeah.
It really is, and saying it needs to be. So meditate on these things, continue in them, and that you might grow in the Lord, but when others see you, they'll see that as well. So this is chapter 4, and we're taking phone calls. We got one or two line. It hadn't got completed yet. Still getting information. But that number, if you want to call and ask a Bible question, it's 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. We would love to hear that question you have. Alex, while we're waiting, you've got something big that's going on this weekend. Give it to us in a matter of prayer so we can pray with you about it.
Well, yes. Tomorrow night, Charlie Kirk, the well-known Christian conservative commentator, he's going to be in Myrtle Beach, and it's almost sold out. There might be a few tickets left. We're going to be at the Alabama Theater, big theater down there. I'll be speaking. Charlie Kirk will be speaking. Yes, there'll be open Q&A. And Bert, Charlie Kirk is one of the top 10 social media influencers in the world. And he's very famous for going onto these campuses, colleges, and they fire questions away. Well, you'll hear him speak. You can see him in person and ask your questions. And if you want to go to my website, alexmcfarland.com, we'd love to see you tomorrow night, 7 p.m. in Myrtle Beach to hear Charlie Kirk.
I'm going to be down in Sylvester, Georgia at a men's conference on Saturday morning at Antioch Baptist Church. If you're down in that area, we would love to see you. You can come in around 9 o'clock. We're going to have a great time. We'll be back right after this break.
I am thoroughly looking forward to our Weekend with AFA coming up in October, where we're going to be able to meet our supporters like yourself, to fellowship, to visit our facilities here in Tupelo, and to have everyone come together for a wonderful weekend.
It's a Weekend with AFA, Thursday, October 2nd through Saturday, October 4th in Tupelo, Mississippi. Speakers will include Abraham Hamilton III, Jenna Ellis, Tim Barton, Tim Wildman, and more. Register at afa.net/weekend.
I've seen shame, the kind that comes from mistakes, the kind that won't go away. When I turned around, they were right there to remind me. I've seen regret, the kind that messes with your head, the failures and the can't forgets. But standing here now, I'm thinking God is behind me. Cause I've seen nail-scarred hands reach out and wipe it all away.
Amen. Praise the Lord. God's grace, isn't it amazing? We hope you've experienced it by trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. As you confessed your sin, knew that you couldn't save yourself, and Jesus came to earth, lived that perfect life to become the perfect sacrifice and go to the cross and die, but then third day rise again. Would you put your faith in him? Would you ask him to be Lord of your life and trust him, surrender everything to him, nothing held back? And that's what we were talking about earlier in that issue, entirely, Alex, not just partially, but entirely, holding nothing back. God, it's all yours. I pray you've done that.
Well,
Alex, we got people on phone lines. Let's go.
Let's go to Kentucky. Mark in Kentucky, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Hey, Mark. I'm Mark. You're Alex.
That's right. Blessings, brother.
And Bert, right?
You got it. Yeah, good to have you, Mark.
Yeah, gentlemen, I really, my brothers, I really, I do appreciate, value the fact that you guys delve into the word, that the written word that, that our Father granted to us, that we can delve into and get to know him better and have it and give us wisdom through his Holy Spirit that dwells in us when we are born again. And as I'm sort of repeating, parroting, and almost sounding religious in my statement, but it's true. And that came for me when I got, you know, in a condition where I needed something greater than me to overcome something that was nearly consuming me. And in other words, get to the end of myself to where I reached out and said, God Almighty, please help me. So, you know, in other words, it didn't, I grew up in the church and I'm thankful for that, but all that stuff in my head didn't really, it made sense, but it wasn't real and personal until I came to that end of myself. But anyway, my question to you guys is that amidst this time that we're in right now, where it's fascinating. It's amazing. On one hand, it's disgusting the point at which we've gotten to in this what once was one nation under God, the God of the Bible, has become into a condition where people are confused about everything from gender to you know what. So what are we to do, though, as God's family, those that are chosen, those that are called, those that are born again, when it seems at a maximum the church is indifferent about what's happening in say, Washington?
Yeah. Mark, let me just share this with you. It's according to which group. I think the minority is listening to what, and we're seeing changes just like Alex and what he's doing this weekend with Charlie Kirk, and it's a biblical matter, but it's also connected to life, which is part of politics. And so, and with Charlie Kirk being followed, Alex, it seems to me there's an awakening of connecting godly wisdom with governance. What do you think?
Well, I think so. And do you know what, Mark? You're saying something very biblical, wisdom. Do you know, Bert, I was trying to figure out how many times the Bible used the word wisdom, but there are several different words, and dozens and dozens of times God's Word tells us to seek wisdom. And Proverbs 1:7, I think, says it best, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And there are words that speak of discernment, and how do we get discernment of right and wrong? True and false. Well, it's from reading the book that is truth, the Bible. And so, Bert, of all things, you know, yesterday we were reading in chapter 3, verse 15, that the church is the pillar and the ground of truth. And individual Christians and local churches collective, we are to be all about truth, which is God's Word. And so wisdom is a pretty rare commodity these days, not always, but very often. And so the more the world seems to nearly unravel, the more God's people need to know truth, proclaim truth, and stand for truth. And therein is wisdom. I want to go to North Carolina. Mark in North Carolina, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Thanks for taking my call. I want to start off by saying God bless you both. I greatly appreciate your ministry, Exploring the Word and AFR.
Thank you, Mark. We appreciate you, man.
All right. My question is, I think it's in Matthew 17 or Matthew 19, where Jesus is speaking and he's saying, suffer little children and do not hinder them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven, or something to that effect. I can't really quote the whole verse right now. But what I'm wondering is if he was talking to a whole congregation of people or just basically his disciples. And I'd also like to ask a word of prayer over me and my family. Me and my wife are having some problems right now, and I appreciate all your prayers.
Okay, Mark, we'll do that. Let me pray first, Alex, and
yes,
then, Father, I thank you for Mark calling, and I pray in God for victory in that marriage. May they... As what Paul was telling Timothy about godliness and everything, Marriage is hard work, caring. And I pray that, Father, they would exercise godliness in this. And I pray for the victory that they would have over the any temptation or any difficulties going, communicating, finances, whatever the issue is. And, Father, may they submit to you. We're praying for victory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, beautiful prayer. And Mark, thank you for sharing with us. You mentioned in Matthew 19, where Jesus in verse 14 says, "Suffer the little children, forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." What's interesting, 19 begins, it says, Jesus departed from Galilee, came to the coast of Judea beyond Jordan. And scholars say this was an area called Perea, P-E-R-E-A, on the eastern part of what is now Palestine. It means beyond Jordan, a 10-mile strip east of the Jordan River. And it was an area of Jewish people. But it was still under the control of Herod Antipas. Now, was he in front of a large congregation or a group? Bert, I don't know, but where Jesus would go, people would gather.
Well, verse 2 says there were multitudes followed him, and then the Pharisees. There doesn't seem to be a break between the Pharisees coming to him and then in verse 10, the disciples. So it looks like to me that a lot of folks around. Go ahead, Alex. I just wanted to throw that in real quickly.
I think there was a crowd. I don't know for sure, but it seems like there was a big crowd. Maybe it was in the hundreds because, you know, the Pharisees are trying to trip him up on divorce, and it says they brought little children. And that's when he famously said, suffer the little children. Then there was the rich young ruler. We don't have time to fully exegete Matthew 19 right now, but you've got the religious leaders, you've apparently got the families, and you've got individuals, the rich young ruler. Matthew 19, a great chapter, Mark. Let's go to, I believe it's Iowa is the state, and the caller is Montana. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
Montana from Iowa. Well, that's welcome.
Montana, if you move to Montana, it's going to be great.
Yeah, that would be something. Thank you for taking my call. I have a Bible question about marriage and marriage vows. I'm 23, and lately I've been attending many of my friends' weddings because we're all getting to that stage in our lives. And God willing, I believe my boyfriend and I will be making and approaching that next step ourselves. So as I think about that future, I'm wondering, how do I make those meaningful vows to my future husband, knowing that I'm an imperfect person who is a sinner and still a follower of Christ?
Okay. Notice the vows are a promise, Alex. When you make these vows, I would say, Montana, you're making a promise, and you're doing it as a Christian. Hopefully the Holy Spirit. And you make those vows, you make those promises with great intention, dependent upon the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, to guide you. I know that. I was 22 when I was married to Jan, and I remember those vows, and we'd gone over them. And listen, it is possible. It is possible, even though we're fallen, to have the Holy Spirit to help us to fulfill most of them. There's going to be times of difficulty, but you can stay true to that vow of keeping yourself only unto your husband and to your wife. Alex, go ahead.
Well, marriage is a covenant, Christian marriage, isn't it, Bert?
Really is.
And our relationship with Jesus is a covenant that we dare not abandon, and our marriage vows. And, you know, as the world has gotten more and more kind of loosey-goosey, I did a wedding last year. I don't do as many weddings as I did at one point, but whenever I'm asked, I really try to counsel the couple to prayerfully make pretty strict, explicit marriage vows to each other, such that it takes the hand of God to help us live out our marriage vows. And so, Montana, I commend you. Blessings on you as you ponder, I would call it the second most significant decision you'll ever make. The most significant, the most consequential decision ever is the decision to become a follower of Jesus. And then second is, whom should I marry? And blessings. We need more Christian families. We do.
Amen. Let me make one real quick statement.
Yes.
It's a covenant with one another, but it's also a covenant with God.
Indeed.
It is. And the Bible says a three-strand cord is not easily broken. And that's what you want to do. It is unto God. And Montana, that's where you live. That's what you do, as unto the Lord.
Sarah in Virginia, thanks for holding. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
Hi, Alex and Bert. How are you two? I know you're well because God is with you.
Amen.
And I ask God's peace on you and Bert and the entire audience that is listening, especially today.
Thank you, Sarah.
Alex,
you.
I have a request. I have a granddaughter. She's 30. God love her. And I do. I'd like to, well, whatever. But anyway, she has, when she was a child and growing up, she always believed in God. It just was what it was. But now she has, at a stage in her life where she evidently doesn't believe. I don't know how she got there. She won't tell me. And I just want for you all to pray for her to return to God in his arms, that he mm-hmm. would hold her. She has four children, and of course they're my great-grandchildren, and I want them all to know Christ. I
Amen.
Know she knows him in her heart. But
yes.
why she won't walk with him right now, I do not know, and she will not tell me.
Okay.
Well, Bert, would you pray for this granddaughter
to
come
back? Father, thank you for Sarah. We can hear the pain in her voice. And as a grandparent, I understand that generation and how close and how much you love them and care. And I hear that in Sarah. So I'm praying for her granddaughter right now, wherever she is, that your Holy Spirit, God, would just come in and touch her life, to draw her back to yourself, show us her sin. The Bible says that the Spirit came, and he will show judgment. He will bring conviction. And I pray you'd see that. But I also would pray that she'd see the goodness of God, that she would see that our God loves us and he cares for her. Right? There's probably something that happened in her life that would draw her away. But God, I'm praying for healing. I pray for those four children, and I pray for Sarah. May I thank you for she sharing this with us. And right now, all over America, people are praying for her granddaughter and mm-hmm. asking you, God, to do a work in her heart of drawing herself. Then the other thing, Father, before we go, we want to say, bring other people into this granddaughter's life yeah. that would help her to see truth. And Father, may it be one that would draw her to yourself. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Let's go to Aaliyah in Tennessee. Aaliyah, thanks for holding. Welcome to the program.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Well, thank you for calling.
So I had a question. If God is so intricate and precise, why did he create us with two lungs and two kidneys if we only need one?
Okay, good question. Listen, I would say this. God, I don't want to use the word symmetrical, but in place of going to your inside, lungs and kidneys go to the outside. Why one nose and two ears, you know? Mm-hmm. Why two eyes? God's purposes and his designs are real. We are knitted together. And Alex, it is fitting, and it really... You use the word, and I'll let you carry us out. Balance. Part of this is balance that God has given to us.
Amen. You know, Aaliyah, the Bible says that we're fearfully and wonderfully made. Our brain has two hemispheres. Our lungs, we have two lungs, two kidneys, two eyes for vision, two ears to listen. By God's grace, if one fails, we have a backup. And if we're in complete health, sometimes people graciously donate a kidney. But you know what? There's a lot of ways that I think the human body is reflective of the Creator. And we are not to be alone. We're to be with God. But the human body is a miracle in itself.
Amen.
And Bert, isn't it amazing that the components of blood cells not only give life, oxygen to the brain, they can heal and coagulate when we are cut so we don't bleed to death. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. To God be the glory. Thank you for that call. And folks, thanks for listening. Please tell somebody about Exploring the Word. Most of all, tell everybody about Jesus. And go out today and remember that we are His representatives. Blessings to you all.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.